Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, I am Annika. I play in a band, or my band, it's kind of just me and my band members, but my project is called Hachiku. And yes, thanks for having me.
So we've got Michigan, we've got Germany, we've got London, we've got Australia. We've got 2017, you emulated folk artists with an electronic twist, like the way I did that. Milk Records, Germany's next superstar, which we'll get to in a second. What are you amazed so far that either no one has asked you, or what do you wish somebody would ask you?
I wish maybe I could talk more about all my favorite deep fried foods and frozen pizzas that I love dearly.
Okay, so you know that you've now opened this up. See, this is either, it's either really good or not. So now we have to talk about this. Should we start with French fries? I mean, you know, and where French fry? I mean, should we talk about the difference between them and pommes frites and whether, you know, and here's my problem. My problem is that most French fries, even when they're made really fresh, they're kind of soggy. You know, like we have In-N-Out Burger here, which is the most legendary place, and everybody loves the burgers, but they don't love the French fries. And then people say McDonald's has the best French fries, but who wants to really go to McDonald's?
Yeah, I did. Once I went on a road trip with my friend through America, and we made a list of all the fast food chains we went to and rated them based on different criteria and how many times we went to each of them. Like fries wise, I think for me personally, this might be controversial, but I think Burger King.
Wow.
Yeah.
That might be controversial here in America. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I think there's a difference between German Burger King and US Burger King, where in German Burger King, they're really crispy. Like,
we'll get to the music eventually, but you've led me here, so I'm going here.
Yeah. Well, this one actually is maybe on the healthy side of it, but I really love deep fried eggplant. Or aubergine, ooh. I'm not sure which you call it.
Yeah, eggplant or like zucchini, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Like where you think it's a little bit healthy, but I think eggplant in particular just absorbs all the oil and gets delicious.
It does, yep. It does.
And deep fried Mars bars, actually. Have you had those?
Deep fried Mars bars. Wow. So that's like a coma. But biology, growing up with parents who obviously were musically inclined, and we'll get to, I'm fascinated by the whole Detroit thing, which I'll tell you in a minute, but wow, biology.
Yeah, that's what I studied it after high school when, I mean, my background is quite conservative in a way that my whole family, it would be like, after you finish school, you go to university, you get a job. So at that point, when I was 17, just out of high school, I was like, music is a thing that people do as a hobby. What's the more traditional thing I could do? And biology was always something I enjoyed in high school. So yeah, I ended up doing a master's degree in it actually.
Wow.
Yeah, whereas after the first 3 months, I was like, nah, this isn't for me, but I'm not.
But you saw it through, did you not?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was like, I'm not, never one who, like, I didn't want to start it and not finish it. Yeah, I feel like it also taught me, if anything, just some life skills of, even if you don't enjoy something sometimes, like, you have to be kind of determined and hardworking, and having exams, you have to study for them, and just developing that mindset of, like, determination and a little bit of, just being disciplined. And also, I think doing something for so long that I didn't 100% enjoy really made me sure that music is what I did want to do. So now every time I have a doubt of, oh, should I be doing something else? I'm like, you've done something else and you didn't enjoy it. Just focus on the music.
Germany's next superstar. Mm-hmm. Is it as tacky as The Voice?
Yeah, it is. It's like all this, like, very tacky TV, a lot of bullying, a lot of fake tears, and a lot of drama.
So basically, perfect chance for you to get a glimpse of what the music industry is really going to be.
Yeah, it was my obsession when I was 10. I was like...
But you weren't watching it for entertainment. You were... I mean, you were initially, but then did you see yourself on that stage, on that show? Did you visualize it?
Yeah, maybe from the age of 8 to 11, I was like, when I'm 16...
Did you take the hairbrush and go in front of the mirror and start singing, like in the movies?
Yeah, mine was more the local church choir that got me singing, but...
That works. Yeah. That works.
Yeah, I never got the lead role or anything, but I was like, it's fine.
But of all these places you've lived, the reason that you're talking to me from Melbourne is your grandmother.
My grandmother always was a very well-traveled person. Like, she, like, I don't know, just her and her husband or my grandfather, when he retired, they would just tick things off their travel list. So when I had the opportunity to go on exchange at a university, I had the option to go to Singapore, Melbourne, or Auckland in New Zealand.
Wow.
And I was talking to my grandmother about it, and she was like, I've been to all these three places. Let me tell you the pros and cons of this, that, and that place. And yeah, she ended up saying Melbourne is probably where she would see me most find myself at home in, which she was very true, and I'm very glad for that advice.
But this is the longest you've stayed anywhere. You didn't intend to stay in Melbourne as long as you stayed, right?
Yeah, no, I've been here 4.5 years.
Your dad was a guitarist. Your mom played accordion, right, and took opera singing lessons. Now, who took who? I mean, did you say, Dad, I saw these singers, how does this work? And he took you to a recording studio? Or did he know your obsession and say, Here's a gift. I'm going to take you to a recording studio.
I feel like I've always been, or currently am, like living my father's dream of what he would have liked to do if he hadn't started working for Ford. Like, I think I was the person that took that step of, I do not want to work in a normal type job. I mean, music is a normal job as well, but in my conservative childhood upbringing, I was the first one that was maybe not brave, but like that took that step. When my father was like, had lots of musician friends growing up, and lots of them ended up becoming guitarists and bass players and session musicians. And he never quite got beyond the hobby stage. But he's an amazing guitarist, like probably one of the best ones I actually know. And I think when I was after high school dabbling with the idea of music, he was like, why don't we record a CD for you? I'd like to record a CD. And he ended up playing lots of guitar on it, and we did a lot of covers and I was singing. But I think it was partially his dream as well of getting involved a little bit. I kicked him out of my band when I was 18.
You got yourself an internship at Milk Records. Did you have any idea at that moment in time where you were? Or were you like, cool, I'm getting a job and, you know, I'm going to... And by the way, I'll tell the tale for you that they were desperate. That like this wasn't like you rushed, like you wrote them and it was a year later. That's... I mean, when you get it, and I've had this happen with many things in my life where you're like, it's not going to happen. And then it's the weirdest surprise, and you never know when these things are going to lead to the next thing. So tell me about that. I mean, I know that you wrote them, you did all the things with the resume, but did you get a phone call? Did you get it? What did you get?
Yeah, I think, like, as you say, sometimes maybe I believe in some sort of destiny where I'm like, since starting at Merck, my whole future life has been funneled through that first initial connection. But yeah, so I heard about Milk Records through Courtney Barnett when she was starting to gain some international recognition. And when I first came to Melbourne, obviously knew that Milk Records were based in Melbourne, and went to one of their shows and just really liked what they stood for, like this whole community-oriented DIY music, friends releasing friends' music. And I sent them an email and I was like, if you need anyone to make coffee, I don't know how to make coffee, but I could come to your office. I don't know if you have an office. If you don't have an office, I could come. Like, kind of like my email was quite desperate. Like, anything you want me to do, I'll do it. And I just didn't hear back, as you said, for a very long time. And then suddenly, like, I think maybe, yeah, a year later, I got an email by this store manager back then, who's also, yeah, close friend now. But she was like, oh, we've got the Jen Clover Courtney Barnett 7-inch that's released this week. We've had 500 orders. And they must have been going through all their emails of past people that had messaged, which now I know that we get lots of them all the time, where it's like, do we have, like, work for someone to help out? And it's never a malicious thing where you're like, oh, we don't want you. It's more like a thing of, sorry, we actually don't have any work to offer you because we're such a still small label. And yeah, they were like, we need someone desperately to come help. And I must have, like, rectified my very obnoxious email by maybe just being maybe nice to them, or I don't know. But yeah, I kept coming back, just volunteering at the start. And now I guess I'm releasing music on the label and running the online store as well. I think in my circumstance, and I think always it's a little bit of luck involved in your situation, and I think my luck was that from the start, my intention never was, I want to be on this label and I want you to release my music. My, I think, quite full-hearted intention was, I really love what you're doing and I want to support that and just be around you and become friends with all the bands on the label, which now are my close friends, just based on the pure, the intention of, yeah, I want to support this cause. And it just so happened that maybe another year after I started interning, that Shulaki, who was the store manager, came to one of my shows, which was tiny, like 5 people, 10 people there maybe, and saw me and was like, oh cool, I like that. And then a few months later, Milk were doing this collaboration with another Australian label called Bedroom Suck Records, where they were releasing split 7-inches of 12 artists that they really liked but hadn't signed, just to, yeah, do like a subscription-based 7-inch series. And I think after that, I guess I was playing more shows around Melbourne, and a different label, I remember, I was sitting at a dinner with Jen Clower, sitting next to me, and someone across me was like, oh, Annika, I hear you're playing lots of shows, like, oh, like, oh, cool, like, blah, blah, started talking to me about it. And suddenly Jen turned around and was like, Annika, we should have a talk about releasing your EP, sort of. The, like, I was like,
ooh. Wow, you were, like, blown away.
The, yeah, but at that point, we've already been friends for a year and a half, where it was like, yeah, it just slowly happened, and now it is what it is.
So when you sat down to write this record, what was on your mind?
I guess in your early 20s, where you're a little bit, you like just finish uni, or in my case, I had just finished uni, and you have that sort of disparity between reality and dream of, this is where I imagine my life to go, and then the reality of it, this is what is actually happening. And I think trying to combine those two, and what you said with the Freud thing, like, I guess I, when I was younger, reading, it's called Traumnovelle in German, which is dream novel, which the movie Eyes Wide Shut is based on.
Right.
Which I guess is like a little bit of like a summary of that sort of, you have your conscience, that wants to go one way, and then your subconscious that has these deep dreams and like feelings that want to come out that are being suppressed by your rational brain of what's the right thing to do versus what's what I really want to do. And yeah, I think a lot of the themes come back to that of how, like, I always had this idea of, I want to go see the whole world, just not be locked into a place, not be locked into a relationship, not be doing this or that. And then in reality, It's like, if I want to do music in a sustainable career, I really need to just work hard and be in one place and focus. And I started seeing my girlfriend, and I never really saw myself as someone who would get married and have children or anything, but being like, oh, I really love this person, and we've been together for like 5 years now, and you're like, what you thought?
How's this possible?
Yeah, what, yeah. I thought I'd be this wild, wandering person around the world, and now I'm what I am, and there's nothing bad about it, and I love where I'm at. But yeah, bringing those two worlds together.
What is the filter for a Hachiko song? How do you know that it's a song that's for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I always think about that and try and define it. I think there's something probably in every artist where you are really naturally drawn to certain sounds, certain lyrics, certain like just elements that are, I think, very unique for every artist. And for me, I think it's anything that feels organic. Like I just love sounds that don't sound like they've gone through a computer at some stage, but things that I find on my Casio keyboards, things that I find on like my just guitar, random samples, like an organ that someone might have had, and there's a cool drum beat on that organ.
So you're borrowing from reality. You're not making up. You're not making up fake new sounds, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, at least for the last album. Now that I've discovered Ableton, it's a whole new world where that's very much computer based. But yeah, organic. Lots of reverb. I do love reverb.
But it's used really well here, because you can still, the vocals still come through really clearly versus, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think reverb, as they say in the audio world, is best applied with a lot of taste and balance, where I often get like an 80s comparison, like I'm heavily inspired by the 80s music, and in that case I have to admit that probably in terms of decades, 80s is the least music that I've ever listened to. I'm always surprised by where that's coming from.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly where anybody would take it. How much of this was in the box, and how much of this, because I know live you would have the band, but you only had the band on one track.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the rest of this was you, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much, I guess you can relate it back to how I got into doing music, which was through the back door of having done a biology degree, where I've never really been surrounded by musicians. Like, for me, it was always this idea of I want to be a musician and I want to do music, and watching people from afar that were doing it and not actually having that real world experience of all my friends play in bands and all my friends want to do music and this is a bass player, this is a drummer. For me, it was like, if I want to record drums, I need to figure out how to play drums.
So you learned how to do that. That's not easy.
Yeah, I didn't even learn how to play drums. I learned how a drum beat is made, and then I played the kick drum separately to the snare drum, separately to the hi-hat, and recorded them all and then puzzled it together.
And then did you hand it off to a producer or just to a mixer at the end?
So I produced it all myself. I mixed our last EP, but for this album I was like, I really want it to be more professional and next level. So Tom Healy is his name, in New Zealand. He mixed the album and just gave it a boost, which was, I really like his work.
Is this new record, does it reflect our moment right now? And then when it finally comes out, people are going to go, I remember what it was like back then.
I think I do appreciate the universal experience of what everyone's going through right now and how it creates a certain connectedness among us. But I think I personally, I've kind of shut off a little from the outside world, if that makes sense, in that I think I'm right now still in the like music, I kind of do the music first and then find the lyrics afterwards, where I'm not quite sure yet what will come out of me in terms of.
So you're finding the sounds right now.
Yeah, I'm finding the sounds, and then the lyrics and my feelings will follow whenever I pressure them to come out.